Hello and welcome to the Chain Restaurant Total Rewards Association Serving Up Podcast, Sirtra's podcast series that focuses on employee total rewards, compensation, benefits, and restaurant industry relevant topics. For those of you joining who don't know Sirtra, we are a nonprofit professional organization dedicated to strengthening and enhancing total rewards within the restaurant industry. Our goal is to educate and train our members to provide networking opportunities in our industry and broaden the information available to restaurant industry professionals around total rewards. Sirtra was established in 1976, so we've been at this for a while, and we consist of close to 100 chain restaurant member companies with even more concepts. To find out more about becoming a Sirtra member, check us out at CRTRAweb.org. That's CRTRAweb.org. My name is Jess Williams, and I'm the Chief People Officer for Biscuitville, and I serve on the Sirtra Board of Directors as the Director of Member Education. Today, I have the great pleasure of welcoming two new guests to Serving Up Podcast, Grace Ladiak, partner at Aon, and Angela, also known as Angie Davis, who is an advanced business analyst at Aon. Grace is a retirement actuary who's been working with Aon for over 19 years. She's originally from the Chicago area and now lives in San Francisco, California. Her latest passion project is Aon's research on retirement readiness, the real deal. With over 15 years of experience working with companies on benefits benchmarking, she is an expert in the food, service, retail, and technology industry. She's been working with Sirtra since 2017, and her hobbies outside of work include hiking, knitting, and traveling. Or as she said, used to be. Just got to find some new places to travel to domestically, Grace. I also would like to welcome Angela, also known as Angie, who's the advanced business analyst with Aon. She is currently based out of Lincolnshire, Illinois, which is just outside of Chicago. Angie's been working with Aon for over 30 years, and in her current role, she has responsibility for data collection and demonstrations of the Aon Benefit Spec Select product. Angie began working with Sirtra in 2018 and loves showing Sirtra members how to leverage the data in Benefit Spec Select to help with benchmarking needs. Angie enjoys the summer month given the especially long winters in Chicago, spending time with her family and traveling. Welcome, Grace and Angie. So to kick us off, I think, you know, let's just describe the current environment that we're in. I think all employers are learning that, you know, solving the challenges with the great resignation can't be fixed by just hiring alone. You know, we not only need to fight to attract, but we got to fight to retain. And, you know, workers are really holding out now and not just looking for jobs, they're looking for careers. So, you know, forward-thinking employers are really looking to find answers with more holistic offerings of benefits that really give people options and resources they want, so those prospective and current employees, while allowing employers to fill the positions that they really need. So, you know, I like to describe it as a want meets need approach. And it's definitely paying off for those employers who are looking at, you know, things outside of pay, including, you know, their benefits. So, you know, I'm curious today to learn from you, Grace and Angie, what you're seeing, you know, employers doing. You know, what are brands that are implementing progressive benefit programs to success? You know, what are they playing around with? What are the things that are happening? So if you're listening, I really encourage you to turn the volume up and really pay attention to the conversation I'll be having with Grace and Angie as we discuss total rewards and meeting the dynamic needs of today's employees in more ways than pay. So let's go ahead and get started. Grace, the great resignation has significantly increased the competitiveness for talent. Can you share with our listeners, you know, what measures you're seeing brands take in reaction to this changing environment?
You know, some of the things around that are like adding holidays. So are there specific holidays that are meaningful to the population that a company can add, or adding volunteering days or other sorts of time off that is meaningful and really tells the employee population that you're listening to them, you appreciate them. And I think just one of the things that you said earlier in your intro was about listening to employees and what they want. And I would say that's also something that we're really seeing. And a lot of the focus might not be on some of those core benefits, which are well established and employees expect, but what's kind of new? What are on the edges in terms of what can be offered? And so I think companies are getting creative. Like one company I talked to, for example, they were thinking about flexible benefits, and really not with regard to the core benefits, but for some of the optional benefits or voluntary benefits or things that support work life, you know, to have some availability of benefits dollars that an employee can utilize to in whichever way makes the most sense for them, and not trying to choose necessarily for all employees what's the right allocation. And so I think that's kind of one of the creative ideas that I've seen. You know, another area that I've heard a client talk about is like thinking about their employee discounts for their employees, and just reevaluating that, and is there more that they can give to employees? And, you know, I would say that's a lot on the attraction side, maybe. On the retention side, I've also heard of some organizations thinking about, you know, could they provide a retirement benefit that has a vesting for employees to try to get employees to stay longer? So those are just a few of the types of things that I've been hearing about in the last couple of months.
Well, I tell you what, just hearing you list off that handful already has my wheels turning. I think, you know, just one that jumped off the page for me was employee discounts. I think that's a real easy opportunity for any brand, especially in our industry, to look at enhancing that doesn't require a whole lot of, you know, change management in terms of, you know, partnering with another vendor. It's something that we could do inside pretty quickly that I think would probably net some real positive responses, as you said, not only to folks that, you know, we're trying to attract, but also our current employees. So I love it, and I couldn't agree more. I think, you know, it's all the novel ideas that are out there. It can be overwhelming as an HR person to try to understand all of them. And that's where you guys are really instrumental. You do the hard work for us, so we appreciate that. I'm also curious, are you seeing any related trends that are, you know, tied to companies' efforts around diversity or inclusion, equity? I mean, obviously this is equally important topic for organizations, and I'm wondering what you're seeing.
Yeah, absolutely. Just in the last year, that's become really important for employers to really take a look at their benefits from that lens and to understand, you know, which benefits they have that are supportive of a diverse workforce, that are inclusive. And if there's some benefits that, you know, maybe were put in place for good business reasons, but could have some unintended consequences on, you know, allocating equitably across the population. And so, yeah, we actually just started last year. We put together, we call this DEI snapshot, where we can also help companies look at just like holistically, what are their benefit plans doing from a DE&I perspective? And what we've tried to look at is, are they flexible? Are the plans flexible? Are they affordable? Are they accessible? And are they, you know, overall inclusive of different types of family structures and things like that. You know, one organization I was talking to, for example, is really interested in supporting their LGBTQ population, and one priority was surrogacy benefits, because that's the way that that population will build a family. Other organizations have been really interested in looking at the eligibility for certain benefits, and if they adjust eligibility for benefits, are they encompassing more of their population in an equitable way in terms of who's actually getting benefits? And another kind of interesting thing is, and you know, in general, benefits have been moving away from service-related benefits in general, like short-term disability, for example, used to be very service-related, but it's been moving away from that. And even like time off with pay vacation schedules have been getting flatter over time. But just thinking about, you know, who's in your population that is getting those high level of benefits, and is that representative of the entire workforce that you have? And for something like a short-term disability or long-term disability plan, you know, the number of years of service that you have doesn't really change the need that you have, that an employee might have for that type of security benefit. So I think a lot of companies are thinking about this now. And frankly, there's, I think companies are at different points in thinking about D&I and their benefits. Some are already analyzing the data and saying, you know, in this area, our Black population is underrepresented, and we need to do something to address the benefit to make it more equitable, for example. And other organizations are just getting started and kind of like really rethinking what they're doing. So it's been a really interesting time. And just, you know, the conversations I've had have just been so heartening in terms of, you know, having organizations really thinking a little bit broader in this area. So I think it's a kind of a cool time to be in benefits.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And just, you know, honestly, all I could say is, wow. I mean, it's great stuff that you're starting to get exposure to. And I love that, you know, the listeners, myself included, are getting to learn about some of these concepts. I mean, I think one of the things you mentioned around DE&I with respect to, you know, where a company is in their journey, right? Some companies may be further along than others. And for those companies that are not so far along, I would encourage them not to be discouraged, because I think this is such a great entry point for the organization to really build trust and buy in with their employees, to really see that they're putting action behind the words, you know, and it's, again, similar to some of the ideas you brought up earlier. It's not a lot of heavy lifting, you know, looking at things in sort of a less traditional fashion, not always on service, right? Not always about, you know, things that we historically have offered to individuals, given the changing culture and lifestyles around us. So that surrogacy benefit, I think, is just, I mean, it's so cutting edge. And I think it's wonderful that as a society, frankly, and for us as an industry, we can help society really do a better job of supporting all individuals in their lifestyle. So I think it's really cool. It sort of speaks to being an agent for change beyond maybe sort of the little space that you live in day in, day out. This can really be, you know, pretty substantial in scale. So cool stuff. Thank you so much, Grace. So now that, you know, hopefully others' wheels are turning probably just as much as my own are, you know, for our listeners, Angie, I would love for you to talk a little bit about the type of survey information that's available.
Sure. So excuse me. So let me start off by saying one thing is Benefit Spec Select is celebrating their 20-year anniversary this year. We first started our Benefit Spec Select online tool in 2002. So we're very excited that the longevity of this product, it speaks for itself. The data that's available in Benefits Spec Select is traditionally, you know, our traditional benefits that you're used to seeing, but to kind of jump on what Grace had just spoke about is the new data collection in the areas of, as she said, surrogacy benefits. And we're actually collecting data on gender reassignment as we work towards this D&I sort of environment. We're looking into information on how we can help our employers collect data on any sort of educational reimbursement sort of programs. We know that especially in the part-time arena of the benefit that the employers that we collect on is, you know, you're retaining younger employers. So we know some of them might be students. So we have data on what are employers doing to help those employees kind of offset some of their costs in some way. So we have a lot of data along that and industry as well. I mean, not industry, but within that benefit area.
Yeah, and you know, I think one of the things that I've learned in working with Anne, you know, you alluded to it in the opening, is just the robust nature of, you know, your approach to survey and the longevity that you all have in not only the gathering and the collection, but also, you know, how you're able to draw insights easily for end users like myself. You know, so for those of us who are members of the Chain Restaurant Association, I know, you know, there's things that sometimes I'm not necessarily thinking about and the AON team will bring to my attention. And it's just, it's very helpful. It's extremely useful. So I think a lot of that comes from the experience that folks like yourself have, just watching things evolve over time and sort of seeing those trends come in, come out and you know, change over time. So really excellent. I'm wondering, you know, thinking about just benefits in totality, can you talk to the audience a little bit about, you know, what employers can do to see if they're offering like a very holistic set of benefits?
So within the benefit specs to tool itself, when the employers have access to this tool, there are different demographics that they can do some filtering and stuff on. So as each employer addresses their own personal needs, it could be something as simple as they want to benchmark their data against their employee size. So maybe there's a range of employee sizes they want to look at, or revenue intakes. So the tool allows our clients to go in there, pull together demographics to meet their needs within the tool, doing filtering. And then there is an array of reports within the benefit areas that are available to our clients. So we know each client individually looks at, you know, their points in that your industry where you know that maybe your focus is in short-term disability. So you might want to know, what are they doing in sick leave? You know, are we offering better sick leave programs? Are we offering benefits along the line of do we offer paid benefits to help an employee take care of a sick family member, for example? We know in time off with pay, we're seeing some huge trends trending along there. So within the tool itself, one of the things that I get passionate about, because for me, it's really kind of hard to just sit here and explain it. The joy that I get out of our tool is being able to have a client reach out to me and say, for example, I'll tell you a story. I had somebody, prospective client that reached out and said, well, I'm not sure your tool is really going to give me what I need. And I'm like, you know, give me 15, 20 minutes of your time. Let me show you what the tool can do. Get on a phone call, get on a WebEx. We start going through the tool, eyes open wide. It's like, oh my God, I didn't know that I could get to all of this information that's in here. So while it's easy to kind of say, yes, it's robust and we have all of this, it's far more important, I think, sometimes for a client to reach out to me or a potential client to reach out and say, show me what you have. I'm a visual kind of person, so for me it's like being able to go out and look at this. And when people go out and they see what it can do, they not only see how intuitive the tool is, but they see how easy it is to get at this data that helps them in their benchmarking. So that's where I'm passionate about Benefit Spec Select and what it can do for our clients or especially for the searcher group itself.
That's excellent. Really appreciate it. And I think I would just underscore the value of that high touch that Aon offers. You know, being able to talk to somebody who really knows what's available is so, you know, instrumental. You know, you don't know what you don't know, right? You might navigate through other surveys, you know, in your past experience, but I have found it to be so great to have that partnership with you all. Because as I alluded to earlier, sometimes I'm just not aware of things that you guys already know because you're intimately involved in the gathering and the study of it. Grace, you know, I'm interested to hear a little bit about, you know, the trends that you're seeing unfold in the benefits space and, you know, how some of those trends, you know, really have surfaced here as of late.
Yeah. And maybe I'll take it from kind of a broader perspective than I did earlier. You know, I would say really broadly over the last decade or so, what we've seen is time off of pay has become increasingly more important. Those benefits are the ones that are focused on. And that is where we've actually seen increases in benefits. Retirement has been a place where, frankly, the value or the, you know, the amount of money going into those benefits have decreased somewhat. A lot of that's just based on kind of the perceived value in comparison to time off. And, you know, one of the things that I think we've seen with retirement too is that organizations have wanted to, you know, take some of those the efforts around running retirement plans and outsource them a little bit more. And we've had some legislation in the last year that created these pooled employer plans that allow employers to do just that, so that a pooled plan provider can run essentially the retirement plan for them. So as, you know, as these plans become maybe a little bit less instrumental to HR functions, you're able to still provide a benefit, but outsource the administration and the fiduciary risk for that. So I think that's been kind of a positive thing that is aligning with, in general, how employers are thinking about those benefits. Specifically to retailers, and you know, food service organizations, I would say eligibility again. I just feel like that is something that I'm constantly looking at when I'm doing analysis for clients. And you know, maybe along with that, I'll mention that, you know, in addition to the prevalence data that Angela was talking about, that you can get so much great data from Benefits Spec Select. Some employers are interested in doing a quantitative analysis of their benefits, where we would, you know, look at the value of the entire benefits package and be able to say, your benefits package is 2% better than average. And in your comparator group of 15 organizations, there's one comparator who has 20% higher than average benefits and one comparator that has 10% lower than average benefits, and you're falling pretty close to the middle or wherever it might be. And one of the things that's a big differentiator in that often is the eligibility requirements. And then the last one I'll say is around well-being offers in general and just enhancing those, making sure that there is a diverse set of well-being offers that meets the needs of different populations. So, you know, if you have a student loan or an education reimbursement, that's great for the people who will take that. But you also have something that will address perhaps emergency savings for another part of the population, or retirement planning for the population that might be closer to retirement, things like that. are being given a lot more attention these days.
Well, I have to say, in response to some of those, you know, highlights that you just showcased, you know, the one that really resonates for me is 1,000% it's on eligibility, because we have made a lot of tweaks. We started it during our last open enrollment period when we were planning. We just, you know, we have a much better appreciation for the desire for, you know, benefits in the part-time workforce, of which most of our employees are. And I think that's pretty consistent in our industry. And so, you know, I think our industry has sort of had to shed our old skin to a certain degree, where, you know, that just wasn't something that people seem to really care much about in the part-time sort of workforce, but it's real now. You know, they want it. And so we want them. So getting back to that wants and needs approach, I think mm-hmm. you know, eligibility is very high on that list, and I anticipate the, you know, well-being piece becoming more and more pronounced with just all the conversations happening today around, you know, mental health awareness. And, you know, I personally am feeling a lot of momentum in that space. So it'll be really interesting to see how that all evolves. And, you know, some of that's complementary with the flexible working arrangements or the flexible schedules, all those things that are very, very fluid. So,
yeah, well, and I was just going to say, you mentioned mental health awareness, and that might be one of the other areas where I have heard a question about that more time than most other benefits in the last year. So that's definitely hot topic right now.
Yeah, it's, I think, you know, again, kind of going back to some of my earlier comments around just society and culture, I think these are great first steps in creating, you know, lifestyles that are just higher quality for all, regardless of where you are in the workforce rank and file, so to speak. So very inclusive. For those folks who are interested to get access to this kind of data, you know, where do they get started? Angie, you know, I think you're kind of the guru on this. What would you tell folks?
So the first thing is, like, through our partnership through CERTRA, they can definitely reach out to me, and I'll share my email address and whatever. And what we do is we really ask for you to just become a participant in the database. That's the first thing that you'll do, is share your benefit data, and we summarize it in our format, and we get you in our database. That is something that CERTRA members should keep in mind, is that you must be a participant to have access to this data. We make it easy for you. We do the data summarizing for you, and we just ask you to send your employee booklets or any kind of information detailing your summary of plan for your benefits, and we summarize it and send it back to you. The beauty of what we offer is we offer two versions available to our participants to have access to this data. One is just a complimentary access to the tool. So you can get access to our tool for free. There's some limited filtering that's available on the tool, but you can still get in there and do some benchmarking on some high-level data for a higher-level employee group. But we do offer a second version, which is access to our full participant site. And that is all of the features of the tool are unlocked. So when I mean all of the features, that means that you're allowed to do filtering on fortune ranking, employee groups. You can filter by the state or your employee population. You also have access to the full plan details. So that's the actual specification details that you're used to seeing. The report part of it is still the same. The prevalence reports and stuff all stay the same. It's just in the free version, you have less ability to do those customizing sorting. Within the tool, you can save your customized peer groups as you create them. You are able to see one another's peer groups. If you're working with colleagues and you both have, there's multiple people that have access to the tool, they're able to go and pull another person's peer group up. Say somebody's out of town and they're calling and they're saying, hey, I need a copy of that report that you ran, or I have to go and run something else. Instead of them having to recreate it, they're able to go in and find that person's peer group and do it for themselves. It's the beauty of it is that this tool, the value of this tool, we offer CERTRA members a 25% discount off of this tool. So if you wanted to purchase access to the full site, CERTRA members get it at a 25% discounted rate. So that's something to keep in mind, is that you're being offered access to this, something that's going to help you greatly in your benchmarking going forward as you're reevaluating the structure of your benefit plans. Where can you do things better? What are my peers doing? Where do I need to look at changing so that I become more competitive within my peer group?
Yeah, Angie, I'll just say, you know, when I got a better understanding of the costs, it was pretty easy to rationalize to the business that this was an investment worth making, considering, you know, as a member of CERTRA, essentially the cost is less than the cost of losing one employee. I mean, when you look at the cost of turnover, and if I can, you know, have the company spend roughly, you know, $5,000-$6,000, get access to this data and help us prevent from losing, you know, 10 employees, we've already paid for it, right? So I think, you know, when you look at it in terms of the relative cost of losing people, right? It's a real game changer, I think. So if anybody on our who's listening is struggling with how to bring this forward to the business, I think the return on the investment is very clear. So I certainly hope that our members will take advantage of it if they aren't already, and those who are will continue to do so. You know, as we all know, the surveys become richer the more of us that participate in them. So it's great. Well, I think personally, I could keep talking for hours. I know our listeners have other things that they need to get to, but I'm sure they have just as many questions as I do. And I certainly want to make sure that they can reach out to both of you. What's the best way for folks to get a hold of you, Angela?
They can reach out to me at angela.davis@aon.com. And just in the subject line, just put CERTRA. And you know, interest in CERTRA, and I will get back to you with everything that you need to just kind of get started. I will set up, if they would like to see a demo of the tool, they can even put that in the subject line, you know, interested in a demo. And I am always, always, always happy to do a demo of the Benefit Spec Select tool for anybody. So, and that's past, or, you know, that can be somebody that's, you know, has access to the tool and might need a refresher. They're like, you know what, maybe I'm not utilizing this right. Reach out to me. We'll make sure that you know what to do. You know where to find stuff. I can help you find that information.
Excellent. I'm sure you'll be getting some emails here shortly. And Grace, for those folks who maybe want to ask you some more questions about the trends and what you're seeing, how can they get a hold of you?
Yeah, absolutely. So my email is grace.latyak, that's LATTYAK, at aon.com. And Angela's email is a little bit easier to remember how to spell. So she can also forward on emails over to me. But yeah, feel free to reach out. I'm happy to discuss any questions that you have about benefits benchmarking or kind of what we're seeing, and see if we can help.
Awesome. Well,
yes, thank you. Thank you for giving us this opportunity. So we really appreciate it.
My pleasure. My pleasure. It's a privilege to be able to share this resource with our members and to frankly learn more about the great tools that you all have. So with that, I'll wrap us, Grace and Angie. Thank you both for your time today. And thanks to Aon for all of your support as our sponsor at the Chain Restaurant Total Rewards Association. We appreciate all of the partnership we've had over the years. And so for our members, you know, please reach out to Angie and Grace. Both of them can also be found on LinkedIn. If you can't remember their email address, I'm sure they'd love to hear from you. For those of you on the line who are listening in, if you've got a podcast suggestion, please. please feel free to email office@crtraweb.org. So that's office@searcherweb.org with any suggestions. I hope you'll tune in next time, and please subscribe so you won't miss any of the great information on our future podcast. We love your feedback and comments. And remember, today's all about making progress. It's not about perfection. So please forgive us for any technical challenges. Thanks for listening and have a great day. Bye.